You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, ACT Party leader David Seymour announced $153 million in funding for the establishment of 50 charter schools. This covers 15 brand new schools and the conversion of 35 state schools. Between 2011 and 2017, less than 20 charter schools were opened in Aotearoa, before they were de-established by the Labor government in 2018. Seymour himself had said that previously the schools were both difficult to establish and run. For our weekly interview with the ACT Party, producer Evie spoke to MP Simon Court about what will be different this time and why the party thinks these schools are the best option. They also talked about some recent conflicts of interest that have arisen surrounding the already contested Fast Track Approvals Bill.
So last week, David Seymour announced $153 million of new funding to establish up to 50 charter schools around the country, 15 new schools, and converting 35 state schools. So he said that he hopes this move impacts state schools that aren't performing. However, some cabinet papers show that the Ministry of Education considers it unlikely for the charter school model to improve efficiency by more than 10%. So why is this the best option?
Well, improving efficiency by 10% sounds like a fantastic outcome given where we are right now. It is a good idea to give not just parents and families more choice, but to provide some different models of education delivery so we can actually start to compare what works and what doesn't. Because for so many years, we've heard families, schools, Ministry of Education say, look, a one-size-fits-all model doesn't work. There are so many children in the education system with different needs, parents with different expectations, and you know the state system just simply cannot cater to them all. So charters make sense on that basis.
And the Labor government disestablished charter schools in 2018 after they were previously put into action by a National ACT coalition. David Seymour said one of the reasons they failed was because of how difficult it was to establish and operate them. Why is it going to be any different this time?
Well, certainly the threshold and the process to establish charters, because it was the first time it had been tried in New Zealand, was more complex than was necessary. And of course, with the change of government, because those charters were newly established, it was all too easy for Hipkins, you know, with the unions having a gun to his back to essentially, as the education minister, just cancel them. We won't fall into the same trap. We've got a lot more evidence about why charters work. You'll hear from the teacher unions and from Labor that they've failed overseas, but actually the latest and most robust evidence finds that in the US they help the most disadvantaged students, even with less money. Stanford University has found that charter students have an average of 16 more days of learning and reading and 6 more days of maths in the school year compared to those in their in traditional public schools. So there's a good reason to do it. We've got good evidence. The process is going to be robust. And rather than running them as a trial, we have enough evidence to move to full implementation. That's why there's funding of $153 million for 15 charter schools to start next year. So from 1st of January 2025, children will be arriving in new charter schools. And to add a further 35 charter schools that from schools currently in the state system who may wish to convert because they believe their communities have a special character and they want to take advantage of the opportunities to teach the children in their school in a different way.
You said they work in the US, but in those same Ministry of Education cabinet papers, it says that there's been mixed results on whether this is actually going to benefit achievement and engagement. New Zealand arguably has a very different educational outcomes and system to the US.
Well, we should aspire to have better outcomes than any other country in the world. The problem is because the Ministry of Education and the teacher unions kept telling parents and the public that don't worry, failing schools are not a problem because we're special here and we're trying to achieve something different. It doesn't make any sense at all. You know, young people go out into the world, whether they're into the world of work in New Zealand or they want to go over the horizon to Australia or the US or Europe, they're going to be competing for jobs they're going to need the best quality knowledge that's available to them. And you know, we can't just rely on the systems of the past to deliver that, because clearly they're not. So you know, charter schools, they're proven, they do work, the weight of evidence is there, despite what the teacher unions and some naysayers at the Ministry of Education will tell you. And yeah, there's going to be an opportunity to prove that over a decade. Charters will get a decade-long contract, a 10-year-long contract. This is not something that we're going to just have a poke at. This is an enduring policy initiative that we're confident will have enduring positive outcomes for children.
Okay. The last thing I want to ask on that is those same papers say that the biggest improvements might occur if existing kura kaupapa Māori that were struggling to grow converted to charter schools. Do you have plans to do this?
Certainly, under the previous charter schools trial that David Seymour championed, kaupapa Māori schools and Pacifica-led schools were some that converted early and were successful. So, yeah, absolutely, there'll be opportunities for kaupapa Māori schools to become charters.
I'm just going to move on to our next topic now. I just want to touch on some recent concerns surrounding the Fast Track Approvals Bill. Obviously, we've been hearing about this for quite a while now, and we've heard some concerns throughout submissions, largely environmental. However, this week, some new questions surrounding conflicts of interest have arisen. It was revealed that Shane Jones, one of the three MPs who approved Fast Track projects, dined with the deputy chair of the Stevenson Group, who was aiming to have one of his mining projects be listed in the Fast Track bill. Do you think only having three MPs in charge of the process is going to cause more conflicts of interest like this?
Look, it's really important that cabinet ministers, Shane Jones is a cabinet minister, the Minister of for Resources, and that they actually have, they declare any perceived or actual conflicts of interest, and those are managed. So I would expect that any cabinet minister in a decision-making role where there are people they have business contacts with, people they have personal relationships with, that they will declare them and that they would recuse themselves, remove themselves from that decision-making role because it wouldn't be appropriate. I'm confident that Minister Jones would follow the cabinet manual and all the processes around that, and it will be no different when it comes to the fast-track legislation. There'll be processes which may well require ministers to involved in that to recuse themselves from decision making.
Well, you've said that you think ministers who involve themselves in a conflict of interest should remove themselves. Are you saying that Shane Jones should remove himself from a part of this committee that agrees on the Fast Track bill?
Well, look, there's going to be many, many companies, local councils and other entities that are going to want to use the Fast Track process. You know, many of us, I come from a construction background, I've worked in the waste industry for over 10 years. There will be many companies and businesses where we have personal relationships with people who work in there. It's normal day-to-day practice if you're a cabinet minister or in a decision-making role to identify if there is a potential conflict of interest or a perceived one, of course, because we don't want to undermine the process by even having a perceived conflict. And at that point, you'd expect a cabinet minister in a decision-making role to put up their hand. I've seen it done, you know, on a number of occasions where they say, look, I'm going to have to leave the room for this one. I can't participate because I have a conflict. That is absolutely normal. It also happens in business situations where you have people on boards, commercial boards, who say, you know what, I know the supplier or I know the person who's tendering for the contract. I'm going to leave the room. I won't take part in that decision making. It's perfectly normal, and that's how we make sure that we always play with a straight bat.
Okay, I think that makes your thoughts quite clear on that one. I think that's all we have time for today, but thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me.
That was ACT Party's Simon Court on charter schools and conflicts surrounding the Fast Track Approvals Bill.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.